Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Today, I want to talk to you about commitment. Everybody shout, commitment.
Commitment.
Commitment. So many times in life, we'll never ever find out what we could have been, should have been, if we don't have the power of commitment. You know, my wife, Nicole, she was all about commitment. She was one of those girls who let you know right away, if you want this right here, then it's going to take more than a song. You know, and I was like, I'm going to make you love me. Oh, yes, I will. She's like, no, if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it. Come on, somebody right now. She was all about commitment. Shout it, commitment. See, sometimes we don't get the best out of life because we're not committed. We don't get, and our marriage doesn't work because of a lack of a commitment. Our business doesn't work, weight loss. Everything goes back to this little word with incredible, incredible power called commitment. You got to commit. God committed. Check this commitment out. For God so loved the world that he gave, there's some commitment right there. He gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, he put his life on the line. That was commitment. But here in 2016, everybody, they're kind of just wishy-washy. They don't stick with it. Listen, you got to be like a Timex and take a licking and keep on ticking. You got to be like a postage stamp and get with the piece of paper. Well, first of all, Google this. There was a thing called a mailman back in the day, and you put a stamp on an envelope. Come on, go with me. And then young people don't know anything about it. And then it took like 3 days. So there was none of that quick email. You had time to calm down before you sent it. Come on right now. Commitment. Shout it with me. Commitment. Paul tells us in Romans 12, verse 11, it says that we need to be fervent serving the Lord. In other words, be passionate. You will never be successful if you are not passionate about what you do. I love what I do. I get excited to do this thing. Being your pastor is the greatest gift that you guys could have ever given me, and I absolutely love it. I wake up on Sunday and go, oh my God, it is Sunday! And then I have a green smoothie, and then I have some wheatgrass, and then I have some vitamins, and then I just keep myself going because I want to live. My life is so good. I want to live forever. Come on, give it up for God. So I'm fervent about it. So you need to be passionate about what you do. And certainly you need to be passionate about God and his house. It's where we get ourselves straightened out so we can move forward. It's a little thing called commitment. Now, I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 29, verse 31. It says, when the Lord saw Leah was hated, he opened up her womb, but Rachel was barren. There was this story in the Bible about a guy who fell in love with a girl, and her name was Rachel. Then there was the sister, Leah. Some believe because she was uglier. You know that one family that everybody knows that, like, the one girl's hot and the other girl's not? Come on, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying it's just the way it is, okay? And so this guy served. He was committed. He served. He worked for 7 years to get Rachel. 7 years, which is more than I can say for most people because they won't work 7 days, but that's a whole other sermon. So for 7 years, he works to get Rachel. And then at the end, there's the old bait and switch. And the daddy says, hey, guess what? You get Rachel after you serve another 7 years, because everybody knows that under this law, we have to give the older one first. He was surprised. He was upset. And I want to draw your attention to this. He was committed to this girl so much that he served another 7 years. Commitment has everything to do with you being successful. You got to be committed. Marriage, you got to be committed. You don't always feel married, but Nicole tells me you are married. Come on, go with me right now. You got to be committed to raise those little cray-cray kids of yours. If God didn't make them and puppies cute, you would have killed them already, okay? But you are committed. In other words, be committed. Be committed. Don't just be a fan with partial commitment. I'm committed as long as my team is winning. You have to be committed when your team is losing. And there are times in life where you're a little up, and there's times in life when you're a little down. There's times when you love somebody, you love them, but you can't stand them. Can I talk right now? I love you, but you drive me crazy. You're on my last nerve. I hate to hear you even crunch. But commitment outlasts the pain. So Jacob was so committed, he committed himself for 7 years and then an additional seven. But I want to draw our attention again to 29 verse 31. It says, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened up her womb. This girl knows that this man got tricked into marrying her. Now, how many of y'all know that really feels, you feel kind of awkward? No matter how much mascara you put on, no how skinny you are, no matter how you wiggle it, how you giggle it, it doesn't matter. You know you're not the one he actually loved. I'm here to tell you right now, there's a time in your life when you got to get over those people that you're trying to get to love you. If they are not committed to you, you can't be committed to them. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. So you can love him like crazy. And she did everything but she could, but she knew that he just didn't love me like that. Now, here's something that's really cool. God saw the injustice. He saw that she felt insecure. And the Bible said that the Rachel was barren, the pretty one. She looked right. See, sometimes you can be fooled by the container, and when you get into the contents, it just ain't that rich. Somebody ought to help me right now. You can be fooled by all the glass is pretty, but ooh, this is stale. So you might not feel attractive, but there's value in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God made you with a unique purpose, and he qualified you. And a lot of times you'll kind of put yourself on sale. You'll say, I don't have quality. With quality, it doesn't go on sale. Go to Fendi, go to Louis, go to Rolls Royce and see when they're going to pass out the rebates. It is all about the quality. If you are a quality person, don't put yourself on sale in the basement. I'm talking to a teenager right now. You have to value yourself and realize you may never get esteem, love, appreciation, satisfaction. You might never get it from him, but you can get it from him. And when him gives it to you, then them will be watching. Somebody ought to help me today. I'm telling you that God opened up Leah's womb because he saw the injustice in her life. Leah's watching Rachel. She's so pretty. Look at what she's got that I ain't got. I tell you what she ain't got no children. And you got children right now. She's barren. But God saw that you were going to be a mother and you were going to bring kids into this relationship. In other words, you have the ability to produce. Some people have a lot of looks, but they don't have any context or character to keep them where they're supposed to be. In fact, I see this all the time, that talent oftentimes can camouflage a lack of commitment. So people can sing. My daughter's singing like a bird. She starts singing. People start coming into office complexes like roaches. And then I'm bragging, going, yeah, she's 12. Look at that. Get a guitar. Well, there she goes. And then get a piano. And there she goes. But I have to come back behind her, and her mama has to come behind her and say, you're relying on your talent. You're not really practicing. It's cute right now because you're 12, but guess what? When you're 18, people are going to go, that's average. In other words, there are times in your life to where you have to say, it's not just talent. It's about the character. It would be nice to be talented and have character. It would be nice to be cool and awesome and neat, but if you got to choose one, choose the character. Even if the outside doesn't look right. I'm talking about when you're picking a man. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm looking for a man with six-pack abs. He ain't got a job. You can't have six-pack abs like that and have a job because you get busy and you get tired and you get hungry and you need carbs. Somebody ought to help me. You're looking for a man with a little bit of a tank, a gas tank. And you know that man went to work. Somebody ought to help me. I'm talking about get a man that's committed. Get a man that don't need to be committed. Because if you marry a man that ain't committed, you'll need to be committed. Can you help me, Sequita, right now? I'm saying God looks at the heart and the injustice, and he allowed... I got to calm down. He saw that Leah was hated. I despise. Why you be sleeping with me? If a man won't acknowledge you in public, don't acknowledge him in private. I'm going to come after you here too. We're just friends. Get Meghan Trainor's song. Good songs. Mm-hmm.
I agree with Meghan Trainor's philosophy and theology and ideology.
Go on a low-hater diet. Say, listen, I'm going to cut off these people who are not truly committed to me. See, one hand washes the other. So if you're committed to God, God's going to be committed to you. He said, if you take one step toward me, I will run towards you. So get in some relationships so there's reciprocation there. So if it's all take and no give, somebody got to go. You got to let it go. Na, 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 na. Meghan Trainor. I'm quoting her today because I believe that girls need to hear those songs. God blessed this woman, Leah. She now gave birth to one child, and it wasn't quite enough. Maybe if I have two kids, he will love me. Maybe if I have three kids, he will love me. You can't make people love you, and you can't make people love God. You can invite people to church, but you can't make your kids go to church. Now, when they're little and they're 4 years old, you can drag them there. They got a drug problem. They drug me to church on Sunday morning. They drug me to church on Sunday night. They drug me to church on midweek service. Come on. Everybody needs a kid with a drug problem. But you can't make people love you. Then eventually, after she finally comes to this epiphany moment, she has the fourth child and the fourth one, all of them. And I wish I had time to tell you the meaning of each name, and Reuben and all that, and Simon and Levi. But there was the last one that she named Judah, which means praise. She finally got to the point where she said, he didn't love me on number one, and he's not going to love me if I get a better job, and they're not going to love me if I do this. I'm just going to name my next kid Judah, which means praise. God, I can finally get to the point to where I realize the only way that I can be the best me that I could possibly be is just lift up my hands and say, I praise you if I got a man. I praise you if I don't have a man. I praise you if I got a job. I praise you if I don't have a job. Come on now. I praise you if the Republican's in. I praise you if a Democrat's in. I'll praise you if Trump gets in. I'll praise you if Hillary gets in. I'll praise with Obama, Osama, or your mama gets in, God. I just praise you, God, because I'm looking to you as my source of supply, and I'm committed to you, and you're going to be committed to me. And when God sees that you're hated, check this out, when people are drinking haterade on you, he will bless you. So I figured this out. I'm 47. I know what you're thinking. Oh, my gosh, you're 47. You don't look a day over 46, and I so appreciate you saying that. Actually, it's my 47th year. I start getting used to it. I turned 47 on September 9th. Write that down, because you clearly forgot last year. But what I figured out is the more I'm hated, Genesis 29, verse 31, the more I'm hated, the more God sees the injustice, and he starts blessing me. See, it looked like this in my life. When my dad died, I felt betrayed. I felt lost. This man was committed to me, and he's been taken out of my life, struck down in his prime. I'm quite confused. And then at the same time, I'm betrayed by my mom. And I can't believe I've seen my mom in 12 years, y'all. See, I was betrayed by people. All these crazy things that started happening. People sometimes do some really things that are quite interesting when they go through stuff. But here's the point with me. You don't know what it cost me to build this church. You don't know the nights I stood up crying, feeling betrayed and hurt and rejected. And God looked at me and go, oh, like Rachel. He looked at Rachel and said, oh, they're qualified. Oh, look at the look. And he looked at me and said, woo, Leah. Look at that boy. He's not educated. He didn't go to seminary. He doesn't know how to be politically correct no matter how hard we try. But guess what? He is committed. So the more the enemy came against me, the more God began to bless me. And then the church did what it did today. And I'm just, oh my gosh. So I stood with Newsmax magazine the other day, stood in that office. You're watching maybe on Newsmax right now. The reason why I'm on Newsmax, on DirecTV and Dish Network for absolutely free, is because Chris Ruddy, the owner of Newsmax, watched me on television and said, I like him. He reminds, his message reminds me of Billy Graham, but I can't quite tell where he's coming from. See, because they look at the outward content and they go, I don't understand that, you know, the jar is weird. The container is really different, but it makes me want to watch. But what's on the inside seems real and organic. It's not genetically modified. Somebody ought to help me right now. People are hungry for reality TV, and they're hungry for reality preaching. Somebody. So God saw that I was hated, so he blessed me. He blessed me in spite of me.
Because if you knew how jacked I was, you wouldn't come back and hear me. He's still working on me. I got heat motions. I got problems. I'll slap you and forget out. Oh my God, I'm a preacher. I just slapped you. But I was afraid you wouldn't shut up, so I shut you up. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I've been known to slap people. The Bible says you're supposed to turn the other cheek. Well, I only got four of them, and they got all four of them, and now I'm after you. Because the flesh is not committed to doing what's right. But if we renew our mind, we go through those dark spaces and places, and God sees the injustice in our life, He will be committed to you. And may I tell you that if you're not committed to God, you're making a huge mistake. And I know it's not politically correct to tell you this, but I will tell you this. The Bible said in Hebrews 10, verse 25, listen to me. Do not forsake the assemblies of yourselves together, as some will. You don't go to church. And as the evil day approaches, when everybody's confused, nobody's committed. They're not committed to the way they were born. They're not committed to the way they think. They're not committed to any policy. They're not committed to anything. They're just not committed. You have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. So that's why we got to go to church. And so many times people, I had a conversation this week with some of our board members who tried to get me in a box of political correctness. In fact, one of them hung up on me, trying to make me be a certain way. And I said, you know what? Here's the problem I have with that. We could be so politically correct, and I could be so scripted that I could never say anything. And if we go down, we go down, but we're going to go down with me being organic. It's just real. It's who I is. See, some people clap, and other people are like, I think you ought to change. I think you ought to find another church. Oh, Lord, I was here when you got here, and I'll be here when you come back. Because I'm committed. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't right, but I love him anyway. Genesis 29, verse 28. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And then he gave Rachel, his daughter, as his wife also. Verse 30. He loved also Rachel more than Leah. I want to talk in our last few minutes about sticking with something when you don't get the love back. You got to do what's right because it's right, and do it right even when it doesn't feel right. It's marriage. It's a job. There are a lot of things I don't like about this job. There's a lot of things I love about this job. But for me, it's not a job. It's what God called me to do. So it's not like I have a career and someday I'm going to retire. I will never retire. You're going to have to hear me when I start telling you the same stories because I forgot that I told you the same story. But the beauty of it, if you're committed, you won't remember that I told you the story. You just keep coming and going, that's so funny right there. I love that part. That's a good part right there. Stay committed. Even when you don't get the love back. She knew he doesn't really love me. He's not really committed to me. But Leah said, I'm going to stay committed to them. And I'm going to produce fruit even though that man ain't committed to me. Be committed. Be committed. Be committed. Yay! I found myself. I like that. How's that song go? Ooh, I'm going to find myself a cheerleader. Remember that song? Be your own cheerleader. I go, David, you did a good job. They set on you on that political correct deal, and they kind of jacked you a little bit, but you just kept on going, look at you. And you go try to get on that next thing, and you go down to Sunset Hills. It's all white people. Good luck. Do what you can down there. Shove that in there, and then eventually you get back to Earth City, and then I can, oh, Lord, Jesus, I can be me. But I can't. So y'all understand what I'm saying? So I got these multiple personalities and multiple churches and multiple campuses. Sometimes I forget where I is. Just because there's parts of the job I don't like doesn't mean to quit the job. Just because there's parts of Nicole that I don't like doesn't mean I quit her. There are times she drives me crazy. I'm like, oh, because she's such a leader and she's a born leader. You get two cholerics in a room, somebody's got to give. Thank God for the Bible where I can go back and say, the Bible said. She's like, I know right now, but I want to kill you. But she sticks with me. Divorce? No. Murder? Maybe. Stay committed. Just stay committed. Guys, trade in. You know, get some money. See it all the time at our church in Palm Beach. You say that 97-year-old man with a 40-year-old woman. And I'm like, do you really love him? Your Louis bag? Yeah. Your Fendi bag? Come on. Your Prada shoes? I would have a water tester if I were you, old man. Love is not about the things you possess, but about what possesses you. So what possesses you to stay in a situation where they're partially committed? Whatever you do, it's like, I want to fix all this. You may be watching right now and you're like, man, how do I get? I know that's right. How do I change it? You can't change it overnight. You didn't get in debt overnight, so you're not going to get out overnight. You didn't get overweight overnight, so you're not going to get, you know, underweight overnight. You didn't fall out of love and you didn't fall into love. Love comes from God, and true love, administered properly, sustains one another through old age. So the guy who trades his 40-year-old in for 220s, he's not wired for 220. It's going to kill him. So you just sit back and go, you enjoy your 220s. But you could have been with me when I was 80 and we were sitting on the porch together with your grandchildren. But oh no, you're too stupid to do that. Somebody ought to help me right now. So you just got to know inside yourself that you're committed to stay with the girl that brought you to the prom. I'm a dad right now. I know you're not going to like this. No more than I'm telling you to go play the piano. I'm telling you to practice. But I'm telling you, you'll kill yourself if you're not committed. Be committed. Be committed. Go, David. You're the pastor. You're the daddy. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Okay, wrong sermon. I forgot about this one. Be committed to your health. People hate it when I talk about that. I got 2 minutes left. In my last 2 minutes, I'm going to just hose you over when it comes to your health for a minute. You got one body. It's the only body you got left. And you're not taking care of it. You know it. The Bible said your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you're drinking Diet Coke, it is a known fact that aspartame causes brain tumors. So the reason why I preach this, I'm like, God, will you pray for me, Pastor? I got brain tumors. Absolutely. But I'm going to pray for you because you might not have them yet. Stop drinking Diet Coke. This is a dad talking to you. Stop eating high processed food. It's fake food. A chicken nugget had nothing to do with chicken. It's a pink goo. Start reading books about your health. You bought a camera and you read the book. You bought a computer and you read a book, but you've never read a book about health. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and you know for sure. The reason why I'm saying this to you is because I'm committed to you. So I don't want you dying if I got you trained right. So here we are 70 years old, and you die, and everybody else is jacked up, and I'm trying to train a new group of people because you died from eating chicken nuggets and drinking Diet Coke and eating processed food, and you didn't drink your green smoothie, and you didn't eat your vegetables. I'm almost done, and I know you hate this, but I love you so much. I can't let you shoot yourself in the head. I'm going to slap that gun out your hand. I don't know what to do. Find out. There's a book called Toxic. I'm reading right now. Some friends of mine gave it to me by Suzanne Summers. Probably the best book I ever read about health. If you want to sleep awesome, start juicing every night before you go to bed. Wheatgrass. You'll sleep like you took 10 Tylenol PM, but the Tylenol PM is going to kill you. See, we medicate stuff. It's like, oh man, my cholesterol's high. Somebody lied to you about your cholesterol. Your cholesterol's not probably crazy at all compared to they needed your cholesterol. They changed the rules not long ago and brought it way down so that you'd have to take the statin drug because they're selling drugs to you. So then you're scared out of your mind that you're having a heart attack. You ain't having a heart attack. Let's stop drinking that. Somebody needs to go to old, last Sunday when I was here preaching, I went to Old Henry's because the food felt right, the food felt real, and it was good. You need to find places that can feed you. What? Here's an idea. How about cooking at home? I'm out of time. Stand up, show everybody where we at. Show up. Okay, we out. I'm out. But I love you so much. I don't want you to have Alzheimer's. I don't want you to have the shakes. I seem like I'm getting Alzheimer's disease. No, you're spraying yourself with aluminum. You're eating out of aluminum. You're eating out of plastic. So we're dumbing ourselves down. Take a minute. I'm just kind of foggy. Not me. I'm 47 years old, and I'm ripping this sermon even though you're sitting on me right now because I got it going on. Be that way. I don't know.
Hang around people that think about their health, that talk about their health, that reciprocate back to you. See, a real pastor doesn't just teach you about Jesus is coming. You're going to know when he comes. You're going to see it on your Instagram feed. Jesus is split the Easter show. I need to teach you how to be alive right now. You've devalued yourself. One of the reasons why is because we're stressed out and we eat bad food because we're not getting love from where we should get love. And then we get sicker and sicker because we think it's comfort food. So let's just get control of our life and say, man, I'm committed to you, God, and I'm committed to me. And he might not like me, but I know that you like me, and I'm going to give birth to my dreams, my reality, and I want to be a modern-day Leah. Somebody ought to help me right now. And I am completely out of time. Give God praise. I got to go.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. We open up.